Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me on.
Sean, right now the stock market seems to be having a bear rally. How long do you think this is going to last? Will this be the fall, not just the winter of our discontent?
Well, I know many people are rushing to call it a bear rally. I don't know that it is. Maybe we've seen the bottom. I'm old enough to stop trying to pick tops and bottoms unless I'm at the beach. So, you know, I mean, we'll see how things go. Certainly the inflation news, we've had a couple points of inflation news that's not nearly as hawkish as we thought. We have heard some tough talk from the Fed governors recently that they need to see a lot more good inflation news that is less inflationary in order to change their stance. And I believe Neel Kashkari said that they'll probably hike a few times and just leave it somewhere, which is fine. But I'm looking at things like what's going on in the energy markets. We're seeing, refiners say that they see no slack in demand. We saw OPEC's latest increase in oil output, which was pathetically small. We're seeing continued strong demand from around the world. And the only reason that we have stable oil supplies here in the U.S. is because Joe Biden's been emptying out the strategic petroleum reserve. Once that ends, we're going to have a problem here too. And Europe is moving toward cutting off most imports of Russian oil by the end of the year. So, I mean, I am actually looking at things, and like the things I'm investing in actually look quite good right now. We've had a tremendous pullback in oil and gas, oil anyway. That's for sure. We've seen oil stocks just crater. But that's fine because we want to buy them. We'd rather buy them on the cheap. So this is a fine time for me. And I just recommended a new gold miner to Resource Trader subscribers this week. And I recommended a gold stock to Resource Trader subscribers last week. So I'm turning more bullish on the precious metals. Then we can also talk about cannabis. Man, that seemed to have bottomed last month. Things are looking really good. And despite some news that ordinarily should send those stocks much lower, people are buying. So coming back to your point, is this a bear market rally? I don't know that it is. I'm seeing things where it seems like the market's been really knocked down a bit. And so people are seeing some opportunities there. I'm not saying to go and buy chip stocks, though I do like one chip stock. But I think that there are some former high-flying stocks that will continue to have trouble. And so that might kind of weigh on things. But I see some real opportunities out there. Mm-hmm. So I'm a buyer.
Most people would think if there's a serious conflict, especially in so-called civilized Europe, it would drive up the price of gold. Are you surprised that gold hasn't skyrocketed?
Well, I mean, there's been one thing after another that should have driven up the price of gold, and it never did. However, cyclically speaking, I put some charts out on this in my Wealth Wave free newsletter, I think it was last Saturday, somewhere around August 1st. Anyway, which would be more than last Saturday, just time gets away from me. But I just talked about how, cyclically speaking, we should see gold bottom this month. We had 2 years of a bull market, then we had 2 years of a sideways market. And if the cycles are aligned the way I think they are, we're going to see another 2 year bull market. Now, it doesn't have to go up as much as it did last time, but it could go up more than it did last time. Again, we don't really know. But part of it will be driven by the fact that I think the U.S. dollar is peaking, you know, and so the U.S. dollar should come back down, and since gold is priced in dollars, it should go up. The other is, you know, there aren't really new mines being discovered, not of any real size, so we're going to have a good old-fashioned supply-demand squeeze. And it's not only here in the U.S., it's in Asia and places like that. People want gold for all sorts of reasons. I mean, one thing that was weighing on the gold market was that Ukraine sold a lot of its gold. I can't remember how much. I'd have to go back and look. But, you know, they had to pay the bill somehow. So they sold a lot of their official gold holdings. Good thing they had those, huh? That must make other central banks think, you know, maybe we should stock some away, because who knows what we'll have to do sometime. But it's a good thing they had that. They did sell that into the market. I don't know how much more they have to sell. That might be one of the things that helps gold move to the upside.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick, digging a little deeper into energy supplies. This is going to be a cold, dark winter for a lot of Europe as either Russia cuts off their natural gas or they just stop using it on their own. Is this a real marketing opportunity for Canadian and American companies? Get that natural gas over to Europe.
I think so. And here in the U.S., we still have some slack in how much we can ship out. We can still ship more. I mean, we are shipping more than we have in, like, forever. In fact, I had a Wealth Wave column on that on Thursday, August 10th. Thursday, August 11th. So you can check that out if you want. It's wealth-wave.com. So there's that. And but one thing people need to look at is what's going on with gasoline. The EIA stopped reporting gasoline and other data for a few weeks. When they came back to it, they said that the U.S. was using a lot less gasoline, and so that kind of weighed on market sentiment. Other organizations that track gasoline sales, though, GasBuddy.com is one I'm thinking of, they reported that we were seeing some of the strongest sales weeks ever. The discrepancy probably is, well, two things. One is that the EIA reports sales by refiners, sales by the refiners to the distributors, whereas GasBuddy reports sales at the pump. And so what was probably happening as the price of gasoline goes down and down and down is companies were holding off buying until the last minute. You know, they didn't want to buy expensive gasoline when they were going to have to sell it for less in the next few days. The other thing is that the EIA does some things that can generously be called guesstimates. One of those is gasoline exports. And they probably guesstimated wrong. This all came to a head this past week when the EIA reported that gasoline stockpiles fell by 4.9 million barrels in 1 week. How is that possible? How it's possible is that they went back, checked their books, and say, oh, we were putting out stupid numbers, you know? So now the gasoline stockpiles are far below the five-year seasonal average. And in some parts of the country, like the Mid-Atlantic region, for example, I mean, they're down to levels that we last saw in 2012. So it looks to me like there's going to be a gasoline squeeze. We aren't seeing any slowing in demand. The EIA is plainly wrong about that. Maybe we exported less. Maybe we didn't. But there's the real potential for a price squeeze there, especially because everybody is on the wrong side of the boat on this one. And that's why, as you and I are talking, we've seen oil rise more than 2% in a day. You see, there's people are looking at these crazy numbers coming out of the EIA and wondering, who the heck should we trust? Obviously not the EIA, because they're admitting their own problems with their own numbers. Also remember there's two more things. We're in the shoulder season, which is when, they shut down refineries to do maintenance. It's not some kind of grand conspiracy. They do this every year, but that means there's less gasoline supply around, also diesel. And, the other is we're heading into hurricane season. That starts in late August. And that can shut down refineries as well. So, put it all together, I'm actually short-term bullish oil and gas. I'm not sure what your original question was at this point, and I'm sorry.
it's exactly what you were talking about, is what we can expect at the pumps, and if people in Europe, being a worldwide market, if they're being squeezed for energy now, what's it going to be like in the cold months? Traditionally, here in North America, gasoline prices go down over the winter. That may not be the case this year.
May not. We can export more and more, and that makes some people very mad, but come on, this is a capitalist society. We have to be able to sell stuff around the world. And if we didn't sell stuff to Europe, their problems would become much, much worse. I mean, they'd be in a real emergency in that case, and we don't want that to happen. So, of course, we're going to sell them more gasoline. Now, on the bright side, the U.S. is now producing more oil than it did, I think, since before the pandemic. It's like around 12 million barrels a day, so that's a lot. We aren't seeing a real uptick in, like, drilling new wells in the U.S. oil fields. Kind of a disappointment there, especially if you're long in oil services stock. But nonetheless, what they are doing, they're doing a lot of it. So those projects they have existing, they are going full bore. And so we'll probably see U.S. oil production creep up for a while anyway. Now, one thing we always have to say when we talk about this, oil is a depleting asset. And the more you pump out of the ground, the harder it gets to pump out more, you know? And so that becomes kind of a problem. I think we're going to produce more oil, and I think we're going to sell a lot more of it to Europe. The same goes for liquefied natural gas. We do have some slack in, like, what we export. We can export more, and therefore I think we will. And why wouldn't we? The prices that they are getting over in Europe are crazy. The U.S. producers and shippers would be crazy not to ship liquefied natural gas over there. So, you know, I mean, it's actually good for the U.S. Because it helps with the fact that we buy everything from everyone in the world. So our trade deficit is, like, enormous. But thanks to oil and gas exports, I think our trade deficit has actually gone down for a couple months in a row, strictly due to oil and gas. So, you know, I mean, that's a good thing. We are going to be doing a lot more of it. And, yes, to come back to your question, that might affect prices here in the U.S. over the winter. I don't know, though. I mean, I think anyone trying to predict that is really pulling things out of a hat. But it means there's a lot more options on the table. And so in an uncertain environment, you kind of want to price for, you know, something might not actually happen in a way that would lower prices. You might want to price for, you know what, we might see some more upside. Because what if there's a string of hurricanes that comes in and smashes into the Gulf? We've seen it before. This is supposed to be a bad hurricane season, by the way. I live in Florida. That's no comfort to me. But, you know, I mean, we could see a lot more of that stuff that could disrupt the oil market. And it's not just the Russians, though God knows they're a humongous disruption in the oil market anyway. They should get out of Ukraine. They're not, and I don't think they'll get out anytime soon.
Sean, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Yes, keep your eyes on cannabis. Like I said, there now, this is the U.S. cannabis multi-state operators. I don't follow the Canadian cannabis multi-state operators that closely, frankly, because it was just non-stop disappointments. Mm-hmm. And these guys that ran the companies there when I was following it would have stars in their eyes, and yet when report time came out, oh my God, there was a big problem. We produced too much skunk weed that nobody wants. You know, so I'm not talking about Canada, but about the U.S., there are some real opportunities there. And since some of them anyway primarily list in Canada, that's an opportunity for a bunch of your viewers. Look at the action that we're seeing in stocks like Green Thumb, Cresco Labs, Curaleaf, Verano Holdings. You know, that's some nice action recently. It really is. It shows that we're actually seeing optimism in a market that had optimism beaten out of it with a shovel. So I'm not saying you should spend a lot in there, but you might want to get some flyers, because when these things run, as people in this market know, when these things run, they can run really high, really fast.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. It was a really good conversation.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HouseStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HouseStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HouseStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HouseStreet.com radio is a production of HouseStreet Media Incorporated.